study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our Bible study today comes from the book of Exodus. Our teacher is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University until the time he went to be with his Lord. And now by tape recording, here is today's study by Mr. Boyd.
Greetings, friends. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and I want us to consider today the new covenant. It would leave the study of the Ten Commandments incomplete if we didn't take up a time to study together the new covenant that takes the place of the Mosaic covenant. For you see, the Ten Commandments give us the moral fabric for the Mosaic covenant. Now in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, we read, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more any man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now, the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews picks this up and in chapter 8 deals with the new covenant. But he has this to say to us in chapter 8 and verse 13, "In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." And so the author of the book of Hebrews wrote prior to the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place in 70 A.D., and the new covenant made the Mosaic covenant old, and the Mosaic covenant was about to pass away. It was already decayed and waxed old. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 22, and verses 19 and 20, the Lord Jesus, in instituting the Lord's Supper, had this to say, "And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant, in my blood, which is shed for you." And then, of course, in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we have that great benediction in verses 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Scriptures reveal to us eight great major covenants. And all of these covenants find their completion in the new covenant, which we read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Now, this new covenant in character is primarily spiritual. Its prospect is ultimately heavenly. And all the covenants reach their culmination and fulfill their course in this new covenant. This new covenant surpasses all others in grandeur, and it supplants the Mosaic covenant. Now, the Mosaic Covenant was a parenthetical covenant. It was not an everlasting covenant. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, the Mosaic Covenant had fulfilled the purpose for which God had given it. This Mosaic Covenant secured a position for a peculiar people that belonged to the Lord, that is, God's earthly people. It regulated the life of a redeemed people, and it also provided for the Israelitish nation a prescription of moral righteousness, also for their ordinances as they came to worship God, also prescribed for their social life and prescribed for their civil life. And so it was a legal arrangement. However, the new covenant given regulates the total life of those who are redeemed. It is international in scope, whereas the Mosaic covenant was simply Jewish or national in scope. It provides a propitiation for a sinful people, and those who hear the gospel message are responsible to repent and believe the gospel. So it is a propitious covenant, and it secures pardon for a people who are purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to call your attention to the fact that this new covenant has such a designation. And this designation, New Covenant, suggests a comparison and a contrast with the Old Covenant, that is, with the Mosaic Covenant. In Jeremiah 31:31, we read, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And then in Hebrews 8:13, "In that he saith a new covenant, he made the first old." So this new covenant, in contrast with the Mosaic covenant, is a covenant of superior quality. The epistle to the Hebrews is devoted to presenting Jesus Christ as superior to Old Testament personages, and the new covenant as superior to the Old Covenant. In it we find a sevenfold contrast. First of all, a contrast to four Old Testament personages, and then a contrast to three Old Testament institutions. In the book of Hebrews, Christ is presented as greater than the angels, that is, the heavenly mediators of the Old Covenant. This occupies chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Hebrews. Christ, in the second place, is greater than Moses, the earthly mediator of the Old Covenant. And this is revealed in chapter 3. He was also the prophetic leader of the nation Israel, but the Lord Jesus Christ comes as a superior to Moses as the prophetic leader of his people. Christ is presented as greater than Joshua in chapter 4. Joshua was the rest giver of the Old Covenant and the political leader of the nation Israel at that time, and yet he did not secure the rest that God had promised. He failed. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rest giver of the New Covenant, and he does not fail. He gives rest to those who trust in him, and he likewise is our political leader. Aaron is presented in chapters 5 to 9 of the book of Hebrews as inferior to Christ. Christ is greater than Aaron. Aaron is the high priest of the Old Covenant, and Christ is the high priest of the New Covenant, and so he's the priestly leader. And the Lord Jesus Christ has a priesthood of Melchizedek order, not of Aaronic order. So these four personages of the Old Testament are presented, and Christ is declared to be greater than all four of them. And then, institutions. The Lord Jesus Christ is presented as greater than the covenant itself, greater than the saving content of the Old Covenant. You see, he makes the precepts of the covenant inward. He makes the prophetic office of the covenant universal. He makes the priesthood of the covenant perfect. And so the new covenant is to be written on the heart. The prophetic office reaches out beyond the nation Israel and ministers unto all peoples who put their trust in Him, the Lord Jesus. And then the priesthood, which was imperfect unto Aaron, finds perfection in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also greater than the tabernacle, the place of revelation under the old covenant. He's greater than the sacrifices, the means of salvation under the old covenant. For his sacrifice was made once for all and perfected those who come to God by him. So Christ is greater than all which the old covenant included. For he provides a better covenant. He is a better mediator. He presented a better sacrifice. He exercises a better priesthood. He offers a better possession. He gives better promises. He provides a better hope. And he secures a better resurrection. And he promises a better country than all that they had in the old covenant under Moses. Then, in the second place, the new covenant is a covenant of surpassing glory. The Apostle Paul sets this forth in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 1, to chapter 4, verse 2. And we'll not have time to read that entire passage, but if you'll look with me in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 5b, we read, "But our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, which is in the old covenant, be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness, that is, in the new covenant, exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." So the new covenant, then, is a covenant surpassing glory to that of the Mosaic covenant. And then the new covenant is a covenant of superlative conferment. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, God made a proposition to the nation Israel that if they would obey his covenant and keep his covenant, obey his voice, then Israel would become a peculiar treasure unto him, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, there is declared to the church under the new covenant, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people." So you see, the old covenant was Mosaic and the new messianic. The old was national, the new international. The old contained shadows, the new presented substance. The old provided a periodic sacrifice, the new a perfect sacrifice. The old had a changing priesthood in Aaron, the new a changeless priesthood under the Messiah. The old said, "If ye will, then ye shall." The new said, "Ye are that ye should." Now, in our next study, we'll continue this consideration of the new covenant as it surpasses that of the old.
You've been listening to another Bible study from the book of Exodus on the Bible Institute of the Air. Mr. Jesse Boyd recorded today's program during his earthly ministry. Join us tomorrow for another program in this series on the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.